In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
I like this kind of Friday. We get to do a little bit of kind of the broad spectrum of what we do here on Issues, etc. Some of our listeners have called the first hour Fridays inane banter. We'll do a little of that. At least we'll do our best to do just the right amount of inane banter. Listen to your emails and respond and pick an Issues, etc. blog of the week. And then almost to the other end of the spectrum, a very weighty subject for the second hour of the program on this Friday with Dr. Alan Carlson. We'll be talking about the history of the evangelical mind and how it has changed on the subject of contraception and birth control. It is a fascinating story to hear, and the insights of Dr. Carlson are always very welcome among our listeners as well. That'll be an hour or two of Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon. It's the 2nd of March, and as I said, it's listener email and Issues, etc. comment line for the first hour, including Issues, etc. blog of the week. By the way, thanks to everybody who have been sending us the links to your blogs. It's nice to have some more thrown into the hopper and a few more to read and to consider for Issues, etc. blog of the week. We always like to start with email, and the reason we do this is because we get so much email here at Issues, etc. We can't respond individually to all of it, but it's a great way to respond on the air to kind of those that we think are most pressing. We always try to start with some kind of a criticism, if there is any in the pile. There usually is, and that's we like to start with that. And then it also gives us a chance to take the show suggestions and the comments of our beloved on-demand listeners, too. They like to write to us about things that they're listening to now that we may have done on the show weeks or months ago. So it's a great time to remain interactive with all of our listeners here on Issues, etc. What's up first, Jeffy?
Eric from Ridgeland, Mississippi, has a question for you. Can you please explain the term God's economy, which Dr. John Seleska used in the Romans series from a couple years ago? Thanks for the email, Eric.
Talk about on-demand listeners. So someone's a couple of years behind, or they're going back to listen to that. God's economy, first of all, it's not usually used among serious theologians to describe economy in the sense that you think of the economy. The economy is depressed. The economy is on an upswing. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the markets. We're not talking about your money. We're not talking about the banks. When theologians use the term God's economy, they usually mean it in the biblical sense. Now, economy is actually a biblical word. It means, in its simplest form, household. So when Jesus says in that 12-year-old account of him in the temple, when his parents go back and find him among the teachers, "Did you not know that I would be," sometimes it's translated, "in my father's house," or "about my father's business." You ever wonder why you can get two completely different translations? It's because the word there is related to this word in Greek for an economy, which means kind of about the household. Does that mean he's doing household things? Maybe. Does it mean he's simply in the house? Maybe. It means probably a lot of both. So we start with that basic biblical meaning of the word economy as it's found in the Bible. So when we talk about God's economy, we could be talking about God's business. There is also a sense, and that would be, what's God's business? We should all know this by now. God's business is saving sinners, right? That's his business. There's also a sense in which you can talk about God's economy in a broader sense, or maybe it's a narrower sense, where it's how God goes about doing what he does. What is God's modus operandi? What is his way of doing what he does? And in that sense, you're going to talk about biblical themes like God chooses the least likely, like Moses and David. There's kind of a pattern of God's behavior that you can see in Old and New Testament, and you can call that part of God's economy or way of doing business, not just his business, but his way of doing business. And then there's another more technical way that is often associated with the doctrine of the Trinity, where we talk about the divine economy as how the Trinity has been revealed to us and how the persons of the Trinity interact with one another. And that is usually put in creedal formulas that we have in the history of the church, where, and the classic one that describes the economy of the Trinity, that is how the persons of the Trinity interact and relate to one another, how it is that they are all God and not three gods, Athanasian Creed. So I don't know which way, was it Dr. Seleska, is that correct? I don't know which way Dr. Seleska intended that term, but that's kind of the three general ways that serious theologians will speak of God's economy. Again, not God's bank account, not God's stock holdings or his mutual funds, but his business and how he goes about it. Leading off from the Issues Etc. comment line, our very own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights with a view from the pew, fortified by a daily reading aloud in our home of the Prayer and Meditations from Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December 2011, a year with the Church Fathers, meditations for each day of the church year, written and compiled by Dr. Scott Murray. Think of the treasure. Every day this year, we will revel in the insights of those ancient warriors of the Word. My wife and I were particularly blessed by the meditation for Friday, February 24, by Tertullian. We are often properly focused on the glorified bodies we are to receive, but we tend to demean the flesh we now have. Nothing I have ever heard or read has so affirmed the vital role of our flesh as these words of Tertullian, who said, "Consider the special relation of the flesh to Christianity, and see how great a privilege before God has been conferred on this poor and worthless substance. It would suffice to say that there is not a soul that could reach salvation except by believing in the flesh. So true is it that the flesh is the pivot on which salvation hinges. And since the soul is, in consequence of its salvation, called to the service of God, it is the flesh that actually renders it capable of such service. The flesh, indeed, is washed in order that the soul may be cleansed. The flesh is anointed in order that the soul may be consecrated. The flesh is signed with the cross in order that the soul may be fortified. The flesh is shadowed with the imposition of hands in order that the soul may also be illuminated by the Spirit. The flesh feeds on the body and blood of Christ in order that the soul may be enriched on God. They cannot be separated in their recompenses when they are united in their service." Thus said the sainted Tertullian. Give CPH a call so that you may also revel in a daily blessing from the Church Fathers. Thank you.
By the way, the book that he was reading from was Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month in December of last year, A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day, on the of the church year, and you can get it from CPH, cph.org. They have a very good search engine, or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You know what I find remarkable about that? There's Tertullian, a genuinely ancient church father, all right? He is writing about things, and he could be writing them today. If you would not have told me that that was Tertullian and simply read me the quote, I probably would have guessed maybe one of my more talented fellow Lutheran pastors wrote it. Because he reflects perfectly the biblical teaching with regard to the Lord's Supper, with regard to the flesh, the resurrection, all of those things, goes to show that sound theology has been there with the church from the beginning. It didn't start in the 16th century with the Reformation. It certainly didn't start when you were born. And that a lot of things that the modern, especially modern American Christianity, poo-poos about historic Christianity is historic Christianity. It's very nice to hear the testimony of the fathers. Why? Well, the reason you were taught those things so faithfully was because they were teaching them back then. It is that it's not an unbroken succession of hands laid on heads in apostolic succession that ensures the faith once for all delivered to the saints held secure here among us. No, it is the unbroken voice of the church where one faithful preacher or teacher teaches what Scripture teaches, and then the next one hears it, and he hears it also from Scripture, and he teaches it in that unbroken line. That's why you have been rightly taught in the faith. You've been rightly taught in the faith because someone before you was rightly taught in the faith, and someone before them was rightly taught in the faith, as Christ intends for his church to continue to do. It's very foreign to this notion today that we each as individual Christians have to kind of reinvent the Christian faith for ourselves, go back and rediscover new truths for ourselves when we look at the Bible. When you open the Bible, it should always be read through the lens of those who have come before you. It is arrogant to think that you have 20/20 vision when you read the Bible. It is the height of arrogance to think that you have 20/20 vision and see better than anyone has ever seen before. Those church fathers, those creeds, those confessions, they are there for you to put on like glasses so that you can see Scripture and what it teaches clearly. We'll be right back.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues, Etc. 618-223-8382.
Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
What did you get my message?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, March the 2nd. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. And in the second hour of the program, we're going to spend that entire hour. I'm looking forward to this conversation. It's always a pleasure to talk with Dr. Alan Carlson of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society because he has a great take. He does his research so thoroughly, and he has produced something in a recent book, his latest book called Godly Seed, a great history of the change of the evangelical mind on the issue of contraception from being opposed to contraception for a number of reasons, some of them very good, some of them a little more specious, to being kind of laissez-faire on contraception. And at the pivot point of that change stands one Margaret Sanger. It's a fascinating story. We'll hear it in the second hour of the program.
Are you ready for a little inane banter?
I'm always ready for inane banter.
Last Friday, we were talking about how much you love oatmeal, and I love cream of wheat. And Jillian writes, she's got a good oatmeal recipe. Here it is. Write this down. Pen and paper ready, folks. Old-fashioned oats. 1 cup. Soak overnight in bowl with 1 cup milk or water mix. Add 1/2 cup milk, more dash of salt, 2 teaspoons of sugar and cinnamon to your liking. Cook 2+ minutes in microwave. May need to add a bit more milk as not to be dry. Add, if desired, blueberries, added frozen, will do. Cool to palatability when defrosted. Guaranteed to be great. It is all in the dash of salt.
It must be in the dash of salt. You see, for me, oatmeal is not so much a flavor thing. I can eat plain old oatmeal, no sugar, no nothing. It's a texture thing. Do you like the taste of cream of wheat? You were talking about your cream of wheat. Do you like the taste of cream of wheat?
Oh, it's the texture. The texture.
It's the texture.
It's almost just as important as the taste.
That's the deal. So the best bowl of oatmeal I've ever had in my life, and no offense to Mark Dowell, who brings us oatmeal every year, but the best bowl of oatmeal that I've ever had in my life was at Bob Evans. I don't know if you have a Bob Evans where you listen, okay? But we have a few of them scattered around here in the Midwest. And there used to be one that my wife and I would go on Saturday mornings. We might drive up to Bob Evans, have a late breakfast, and their oatmeal's texture was perfect. I don't know about the cream of wheat. I don't even know if they had cream of wheat. They had great Eggs Benedict, and they had great, fantastic oatmeal. And I've never found it. I've never been able to reproduce it. I'll try the recipe. I promise, but for me it's all a texture thing. Maybe it's a kind of oats because they're like 7 different kinds of they're treated all different ways. Don't get me started on the various kinds of preparations for oatmeal because that could take a whole hour too. But it's never been replicated.
Well, I'm very thankful you mentioned oatmeal. That got me to bring up cream of wheat during last week's interview, and I was out Monday with the stomach flus making its way through the Schwarz household. I think up to 4 out of 7. Have gotten it. I had it on Monday, and my mother brought by cream of wheat for me to eat on Monday.
Wasn't that nice of Mama Schwartz?
Exactly.
That's very nice.
And speaking of that, a little background on the show, because I got an email from a listener in Milwaukee, said, great recovery on the Godawa interview. So I'm out ill on Monday. All right, but
you call that a great recovery?
Yeah, well, that's what you did a good job, Wilkster.
No,
but I'm out ill. The show's lined up. Okay, we got Brian Godawa. We scheduled him to talk about the Academy Award winners. What, an hour and a half before showtime starts? That was the last hole in the puzzle, and so we got it all taken care of. So I listen to the start of the show at home, and then I take a nap. Okay, it's 3:05. You guys get the show started. Got the guest on. Everything's going. I wake up at like exactly 4:30. From the nap, which is there's only a half hour left in the show. I check my email. Brian Godawa says, personal emergency. I got to bail out. Of course, you guys don't know this.
No, we don't know this. We think Brian's waiting on the other, waiting to answer our phone call.
Yeah. Right. So I'm like, oh, you know, here I am with stomach flu and I get this email. What are we going to do? So Craig and I are speaking listening to comments that we had that we could possibly use. And then I'm also instant messaging you. And I'm talking. And I'm just keep thinking that it's like, if that's not divine providence, I woke up from that nap. What in the world would you guys have done for a half hour?
Here's the deal. Talking on the radio isn't hard. Anybody could do it. Anyone who has the gift of gab can do it. There are a few things that you have to master. You have to master being able to talk, saying one thing, and to the best of your ability, read something that says something completely different, which is usually a message from your producer. I'm talking about live radio. I'm not talking about sitting there and just recording it and fixing it later. Okay? So there's nothing nicer than just sitting here and having a conversation with the guest on the line. And I know what they know. I've read their stuff. I know what questions I'm going to ask. I pretty much know how they're going to answer the questions. It's a great job. I won't lie to you. It's a great job. There's practically, in my mind, practically nothing worse than sitting behind this microphone when I'm supposed to have a guest and that subject, and the guest for some reason can't make it. And that happens. You know, guests have to bail out for all sorts of reasons. Okay. But I'm looking through the glass, and I see Craig in there, Mr. Cool as a cucumber, with the phone in his hand. He's got maybe the other phone in the other hand, and he's talking to two people at once. And he's trying to get the guest on the line, and he's talking to Jeff, and Jeff's not here. All right? And no offense to Craig, he's in no hurry. What has he got to lose? He's in there. He's doing his job. Jeff's panicking wherever he is, usually at a CTCR meeting or something like that. I got to keep talking. And I don't know. Here's the problem. I don't know if we're going to get the guest and go to that subject or if we're not. So the only thing you can do as a host there is fill, which is, we got lots of things we use to fill here on the program, but they're all about a minute long, okay? And this stretches into 5 minutes. Or talk about the subject to kind of fill that time. And look, I haven't been to a movie theater in about a year and a half. I haven't seen any movies, okay? Not recent ones. I'm just getting around to watching The Godfather, for heaven's sakes, okay? So I can't really opine on a subject like that. I can opine on this subject. I can opine on theological subjects. But you see, I don't know if Godow is coming. Now, luckily, Jeff just said through the instant message, Godow had to back out. Hang in there. That was his producerly advice. Hang in there. And then a few minutes later, after I'd vamped for a while, I mean, I only sweat when I have to vamp. And a few minutes later, he says, we're going to get comments, but it's going to take a few minutes. So then I have to make the decision. Like, do I transition to comments? Do I keep talking about this? Do I keep talking about that? Ugh. I can talk. There's no question about that. But when it just goes to show, anyone can do this job. Not everyone can do Jeffy's job. That's the way it is.
You know, he said to me,
Mr. Cool Cucumber, what did you have to say?
Jeff said to me, I guess it was the next day. He said, what would you guys have done if he was sleeping and we hadn't been able to get Brian? Well, I would have called him 3 or 4 times, then probably put a call into Jeff. But I told Jeff, I said, we've been listening to the local sports talk station here. I mean, you and I could have did a half an hour on local sports talk. You know,
we could do what
no
we're doing
problem.
Right now. Yeah, we could
take
engage,
phone calls,
engage I mean, in the name yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, sure. If we had to. Yeah. You know what I felt like? That account in the Gospels where the disciples are in the middle of the lake. And the wind is against them, and they're fearing because the boats are filling, and there's Jesus asleep in the stern of the boat. And there's Jeff asleep in his cozy little bed with his tummy ache while I'm vamping on the air. Don't you care that I'm dying out here? I'll just leave it at that.
The only thing that scares me worse about you vamping on movies is local sports talk, Wilkin.
Oh, no. I would let Craig do all the talking. I'd just say, Craig, how about them Blues? And then I'd let Craig talk for 20 minutes.
Speaking of local sports talk, Lord Feichtinger has not postseason started Illinois high school basketball. His beloved alma mater, the Collinsville Kayhawks, ranked, I think, 4th in state.
Yeah. Already out of it.
Lost in the first round to the Belleville West Maroons. They're out. They're gone. My Arizona Tigers, they're playing for regional championship tonight against the Quincy Blue Devils.
How does that work out?
Craig.
How did it happen? Well, what's your excuse?
I talked to the coach, as so we so often do, and I think if I'm not mistaken, there's like a huge outbreak of the stomach flu. They must have got it from one Jeff Edwardsville Tiger fan number one Schwarz over here.
Yeah, I saw Jeff at one of the practices going around shaking everybody's hands.
Let me just say, if that was the case, and that's what Coach Lee told me, then I know it was not an accident.
Sabotage. There was a saboteur. Well,
it's conspiracy week number two here at LPR.
And after we get off the air, Craig will explain to us how the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers had a hand in it, too.
We got to let Craigie go on that.
I know. He's never advocated any of that stuff. His conspiracy theories are far more elaborate, far kookier than anything they could think up at the Council on Foreign Relations.
We got time for one quick email for the break here.
Very quick, yes.
This comes from Robert. He says, what a blessing your program has been for me over the past few months. I've recently become a podcast listener. We love our podcast listeners. Here in East Tennessee, I'm swimming in a sea of radical reform theology and religious apathy with a little Calvinism thrown in for good measure. It is comforting to know that sound biblical doctrine shines bright through the outreach of your program. Come and see us if you're ever in the Smoky Mountains. Thanks for the email, Robert.
I love the Smoky Mountains. We went on vacation there a couple of years ago, and it was just marvelous. Rode horses through the, well, you know, insofar as a guy like me, who has no horse experience, can ride a horse through the Smoky Mountains. It was kind of, it wasn't riding so much as I was sitting on top of a horse that was walking. There's a difference between riding a horse and just sitting on top of a horse that happens to be walking through the Smoky Mountains, which is what I did, but it was beautiful. Very glad to hear from a listener out there, and to know that Issues Etc. is doing what it does for that listener as well. When we come back, a little more email, Issues Etc. comment line, and in a few minutes, Issues Etc. blog of the week.
And make believe it came from you.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
As the parent of an Iraqi veteran, I have a heart for our soldiers who defend our rights, the most basic among them, the right to life. Please, please keep the Wise family of Hope, Arkansas in your prayers. Dr. Gene Wise and his wife Mary have lost their second son to the Middle East War. Jeremy, a former Navy SEAL, was killed in a terrorist attack in Afghanistan in 2009. This January, Jeremy's brother Benjamin died from an attack on his unit. Ben was a Green Beret on his fourth deployment when injured in Afghanistan. Ben leaves behind a wife and three children. Please keep the extended family in your prayers as they rely on the mercies and love of Christ to pull them through this tragic time. God bless our heroes.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon, the 2nd of March, and a little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week. All right, we've done the banter part now. What's next on the email?
Rocky from Virginia writes, as an on-demand listener, I am substantially behind in my listening. But I did want to comment on your interview with Bishop Catherine Jeffert Shorey, Bishop, he puts in quotes, of the Episcopal Church USA. I was amused to hear her say, when you asked if there were other ways to salvation other than Christ, that Jesus himself indicated that there were other sheep not of this fold. She suggested by this that truth came in many forms, and that Christ and the way to salvation could be found in the various other religions and spiritualities out there in the world. She would not come right out and say it, but she strongly inferred this. I think she said something like Christ's imprint is on all of creation, suggesting that he comes to us in many forms. Just like Satan tempting Eve in the garden with, did God really say? It's important to recognize that often the little truth is mixed with the lie to encourage the belief of the lie. This works with those who have not fully incorporated the truth into themselves. The scripture she was referencing came from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 16, which says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." It is very clear from this that even speaking about other sheep not of this fold, Christ is indicating he is the only way to salvation, and that those of these other folds who will be saved will be listening to his voice, not the voice of some other shepherd or shepherdess. Keep up the good work, fellows, writes Rocky.
Smartest listeners in radio, no doubt about it. He's quite true, and you always have to read all these passages that are quoted in part toward nefarious ends, as it was in the case of Catherine Jeffert Shorey. You got to read them in whole. You got to read the entire context and see what it is Jesus is really saying there. He is, in fact, asserting that he is the only true shepherd. He is, in fact, saying that all who will be part of his flock will hear his voice, and those who don't are not of his flock. And he's talking there about being saved. And we should also point out that I think the actually what he's referring to there are Gentiles, not to Muslims or people who are Hindus or other religions, but to other people. Not other religious beliefs or religious systems, but to other people other than the people to whom he was initially called, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as he says elsewhere. And he actually has other lost sheep too. But that will wait for another time. In his ministry, he deals primarily, not exclusively, with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He already foreshadows the Gentile ministry of the church in many ways, but it has to await till Peter receives that vision from heaven saying, this gospel, this Jesus is for Gentiles too, and the Gentile ministry begins. He's referring to us non-Jews, who he has brought by his one voice into the one fold. So, yes, very, very well put. Nice catch there. And again, smartest listeners in radio.
Hey, guys. It's Steve from St. Louis. I was just wondering, what's going on with your podcasts? Thanks for getting the missing ones up from the last couple weeks. But now they're all loading up in iTunes in reverse order from how they were on the show. I swear I haven't changed my settings. Is there something going on that I missed? It's not awful, but it's weird listening to the show backwards. Thanks for all your hard work. Love issues, etc.
Now, I understand how this is, and this is a problem where it's kind of choose your poison that we're dealing with here in terms of our podcast. I don't want to go into all the technicalities of it, but iTunes always puts, and rightly so, iTunes always puts the newest thing at the top of the list, all right? The problem is the way that we configure our website. It's actually done through WordPress. It's actually a blog. It looks like a website, but it really is just a blog made to look like a website. The way we do our website, the way we post the audio, which is also the way it gets published to iTunes as podcasts, takes the opposite way, okay? If you want hour one to appear on the website above hour two, you got to post it in reverse order, which means iTunes takes it in reverse order, which means our on-demand listeners who use iTunes, and I know a lot of you do, I know most of you do, we see the numbers, it means that until we get that problem solved, they're going to get them in reverse order. But we trust them to be technically savvy enough to realize that and then to listen to reverse order. And I know it is kind of annoying if you start with segment one and it automatically rolls to segment two. But in this case, if you're an iTunes listener, you start with segment four and it automatically rolls to segment three. I know it does kind of really mess up the continuity. Minds smarter than this are working on the problem. But at this point, incongruity between how iTunes does what it does and how the platform we use to put our website together does what it does. And we kind of have to choose our poison. The reason we're doing it right now the way it is because I think it would be confusing to the people who may be a little less technically savvy, who listen at the website to see the segments in reverse order rather than our probably more technical savvy iTunes podcast listeners.
How about the quality of this new Issues Etc. comment line?
I know it's like we've come into the 21st century or something. The old one sounded like it made everyone sound like they were on a respirator. The Darth Vader sound. We were really worried about some of our commenters. You know, they call in and we'd hear this wheezing and this heavy breathing, and we'd think he sounds like he's got emphysema. But it was just our phone line and our cut rate comment line recording device. Now that we switched to the other line, wow. It's like listening to someone in the same room with you.
Craig, was that the one I just returned to Walmart? Was that our second or third Issues Etc. comment line? It was our third, because we had one with the phone that we started with, and that one, something happened to it, right? And then we had the little white one with no phone. It was just an answering machine. And that one, we had problems where it was like skipping messages at different points. And then we bought a new one, which was more expensive, but it could only store like 15 minutes worth of total time,
right,
on the answering machine. So we Walmart was very kind; they took the whole, refunded the whole thing back.
Oh, that's nice.
We had it for, I don't know, 2 months around here, but we had this extra phone line that Charter has, and we switched to that, and bada bing, it sounds a lot better.
Bada bing, you know, you picked that one up from Craig.
I pick up everything from Craig.
I mean, Craig was the guy, he didn't originate Bada Bing, but he was the guy who introduced the LPR staff to Bada Bing. And there you go, Bada Bing.
Au contraire. I think Craig is the originator of all things good, right, and salutary.
He just gave me one of his patented thumbs up. Did you catch that?
Is it a Fonzie thumbs up, or what is it?
It's a Fightinger thumbs up. No. That's just unique to its own thing. Fonzie learned it from him, okay?
That's right, of course.
At least that's what Craig will tell you.
You guys realize, week in and week out, you make me blush over here. I know our listeners can't see that on the radio, but when they go on a tirade like this, if you get, yeah, that's me, I'm blushing. So, yeah. Thanks.
Who knows how our lives will be changed. When all this is over, Jeff, we'll be different men for having worked alongside Craig.
Lord Feichninger. There's only one of him.
That's for sure.
That's all I need to say.
That's for sure.
And we have a new phone number to that comment line.
Yeah, 618-223-8382. We've only changed one number. 618-223-8382 for the Issues Etc. comment line.
And if you call the old one, most likely I just got an email from a guy who's all hacked up. And trying to call a week, I'm getting the fax machine.
Yeah, now it's a fax machine.
So call that 618-223-8382 number. Email from Kim. She says, thanks be to God for Issues Etc. Amen. Hello, I have held off writing for 2 years. I didn't want to trouble you, but now I am at the edge of frustration. I live in Cape May County, New Jersey. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does not exist. There is one church in our way, and it would be difficult to be truly part of the church community so far away. Help, please. Would it be possible to pass this concern on to our fearless leader, President Matt Harrison? We are not the only family churchless right now. Also, I know of a couple of families that are suffering through an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America worship, and that is their only option. Please help us. I am crying as I write this because I do not understand what God is doing. Rather, I should say, sin is abounding in Cape May County. Please look into an LCMS planning a church. Please look into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod planning a church here. Also, this is a highly desired vacation area. And again, for any Lutheran vacationing here, there is no LCMS. The ELCA that is here is way, way loyal to the Libs. May God continue to bless your efforts, and thank you for being there for me, writes Kim, and thank you for listening, Kim.
And we're happy to be here for you. I've often said, and this is not to discourage anybody from listening, but you know, we can't, and you can hear the angst in her email. Good quality Lutheran radio can't substitute for a good Lutheran congregation. It just can't. We're just a radio program. We're not, and we have all sorts of benefits of being that, but we can't substitute for a local pastor and a local congregation. Jeff, did you forward that email on to Matt's people, as they say, at the upper echelons of the International Center, where the air is so very thin? Did you pass it on to his people, to his staff, to his entourage?
Well, you should know that I didn't send it to their at lcms.org email addresses. We have secret email addresses.
That's
for
true. We do have
El
secret
Presidente email. Harrison and his sidekicks, Vicker and Culver. And
okay,
all three of them did receive or forwarded that email.
Thank you very much. You know what you could have done, too? You could have just printed off a copy of that email and given it to Will Wheaton, who was in here a little earlier today, because he's going to join the entourage pretty soon over there. Matt's posse. What other words can I think of here? Court, his cabinet, his I used the word entourage before, didn't I? Yes. I wasn't going to call following. His emanations.
Homies,
that's what I was looking for. His homies. Whedon is about to become one of Harrison's homies. Be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll study the Lenten hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, with Pastor Will Wheaton. That's Monday on Issues Etc. It's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. And Issues Etc. blog of the week coming up here in just a few minutes on this Friday afternoon, March the 2nd. Speaking of Pastor Will Wheaton, we were talking about him before the break. During the break, I thought up some more things. He's not only going to be one of Harrison's, what do we say, homie?
Homie. Harrison's homie.
Harrison's, he's going to be, he'll become a member of all the president's men. He will. No, wait, I'm not even done. Part of the inner circle, one of his peeps, his lieutenants, his goombas, his muchachos, his bros, his compadres, his comrades, part of the tribe, the crew, the huddle, the part of Harrison and company, his retinue, his cortege, his train, his attendants, his pack, his herd, his gaggle, and my favorite, part of Harrison's band of merry men. I can just picture it now. Don't you kind of picture that? Harrison is kind of the Robin Hood. And what would Wheaton be in that? He'd be Friar Tuck. He'd definitely be Friar Tuck in the band of merry men. So, not Little John.
I got
Bart Day's Little John.
Bart Day's Little John. Yeah. That's pretty good.
And
what's Adrian Doerr?
She's Maid Marian. That's okay. Who she is.
Okay. All right. We're talking about Adrian Doerr, Lutheran Witness Editor.
But I wanted to say something Jeff, I just wanted to say that we at Issues Etc. wish Pastor Wheaton and his family, and pray for them, all the very best in this new venture. We know what it's like to. I know what it's like to go from the parish to employ at LCMS Inc. And he will face some challenges, but he will be well used in that capacity. And for Jeff, people must know that Jeff is one of the elders at Pastor Wheaton's congregation. For Jeff and his family and that whole congregation, they do consider this a big loss. It really is.
Hey, how can he be Friar Tuck? Every Robin Hood incarnation I've ever seen, the Friar Tuck has not quite the girth of a Pastor Wheaton. The Friar Tuck is probably 5 or 6 times the girth of a Pastor
Wheaton. That's
why
he's the perfect kind of deconstructed Friar Tuck. He's the fit and trim Friar Tuck. You got to get that one right. Hey, by the way, I think he's getting thinner.
He is.
When he was in for recording. Yes. I mean, he actually looks, his body has started to become kind of concave. He's starting to, you know, close in upon himself. You should watch that. Those free lunches over at LCMS Inc. will remedy
take care of that. Yeah, thanks a lot, El Presidente, for stealing our pastor. We really appreciate that.
All right, let's do some more email here.
Well, I had a great segue. This email had to do with hymnody, but you had to go off and all these you had to go to thesaurus.com and come up with homies. And words like that. But Jeff says, I agree with Pastors Wilken and Swirla during your interview on the season of Lent with Swirla that some of our best Lutheran hymnody comes during the Lenten season. Wouldn't this be a great time to bring back Lutheran public radio sacred music?
Well, that's a great question. And for those of you who may not know, during the Christmas season, those 12 days of Christmas, we launched a new venture, a 24/7 internet radio station called Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season. And that was a bit of a putting our toe into the water to see how everything worked. And we learned a lot of lessons in doing that. And we will be bringing Lutheran Public Radio back. It won't be for the Lenten season, though. I think the work involved in preparing for the next venture there is a little bit more than we could get done, even by the end of Lent. But by the end of Holy Week, the goal is, isn't it, Jeff, to launch Lutheran Public Radio for the entire Easter season, which is a lot more than 12 days this year. It's a much longer trek there. And it'll be sacred music for the Easter season, Lutheran Public Radio. Do you want to do it Easter Sunday? We're going to do it Saturday night before Easter. Do you have any ideas? You have no idea.
We don't like to promise something unless we can deliver. Yeah. It'll be during the Easter season. Let's just
okay.
Stick to
so
that.
Generally during the Easter season, you will be able at some 24-hour point, some 24-hour stretch in there, at least, you'll be able to hear Lutheran Public Radio sacred music for the Easter season. It's a great idea. We're just trying to. It's a lot of work, an awful lot of work to do.